Hello everyone, welcome to Reaxes Hollywood. I'm a Samuel Cook type.
I'm a Rob Wilson type.
And today we are discussing episodes 5 and 6 of season 1 of BoJack Horseman. Episode 5, Live Fast, Diane Nguyen. And episode 6, our A story is a D story?
Yep.
So let's go straight into it. Live Fast, Diane Nguyen, what did you think about the episode?
When I was preparing to watch it, I always kind of had this one as a better episode than the previous ones, but it turns out it's not. I remember what I thought this episode was, which is a bit of a decent exploration, like an early exploration into Diane's character, into Diane's family, into who Diane really is, why she is the way she is, and, I wasn't laughing, I wasn't that engaged with it. Like, I thought it was decent, and it was nice to get to know Diane's family, but at the same time, by the same token, can you really tell any of Diane's family apart from one another? Like, they're all basically the same person.
Other than the black sheep. No.
Yeah, other than the literal black sheep, yeah, but they're all basically the same person, which I guess is kind of the point, but I think if you're going to introduce that many new characters into an episode at one go, they need to be more distinctive from one another, and none of them really are. I mean, there were bits of it that I enjoyed, like, I can't remember his name, but the guy who was, the brother who was obsessed with watching the same baseball game over and over and over, the SP Orts on his jersey and, you know, can't talk, watching the game. I enjoyed that, but until the very, 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 very end of the episode where Diane and BoJack are talking to each other on the front of the pickup truck, I just wasn't that bothered. I've thought, like, oh, finally, we're going to get an episode that's an extension of that rooftop scene that we didn't get enough of, because it's BoJack and Diane. I mean, it's a little bit contrived to send them to New York and then to Boston because Pinky's kind of half gone out of business and he's had to move over the other side of the country to not have his kneecaps shot. But, you know, I could forgive that. But I thought, finally, we're going to get Diane and BoJack sat down together or in a location together. And in the end, we just end up distracted with people who aren't really that different from one another and not different enough to justify how much of the episode they take up. I wanted more Diane and BoJack. I didn't want more Diane's family being very loud and obnoxious and annoying. Because I think, as much as that's the point, I think I did just find them annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too early. I mean, if they did this in, like, season two, it's, like, too early to move out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, only 6 episodes in. It's like you try to build a world, you try to build characters, and they've moved out there, and all they've really done... I mean, you could have had... I think you could have had Diane's... all the family come up to Hollywood, and it'd be exactly the same story. But then they're just relying on, like, lazy, like, Boston stereotypes. I see a lot of praise online for the mother, I think her vocal performance, but it just sounds like a stereotypical, like, Boston accent to me. It's very on the nose. I think they said The Departed, and I think I laughed the first time. The Ben Affleck references, that were a bit funny. The Daredevil himself, but... yeah, haha, that's funny. It's a bad film. I made a note that Diane does call them narrow-minded. Maybe that's the point. Are they all look alike other than the obvious?
Yeah, I think there's... but... I don't know. I think there is... there's an element of confusion with me. Like, I can't work out whether they are... I mean, obviously they're supposed to be annoying and obnoxious, but I don't think they were they're supposed to come across that way. And so that you sympathise with Diane because her family is essentially... her family dynamic is terrible. But at the same time, I don't enjoy them being on screen. Like, it's not the best example, but Joffrey from Game of Thrones is an evil piece of shit. And it's difficult to watch him, but you enjoy his presence so much because he's so well played, so well written, so well layered that like you hate him as a character, you hate him as a person, but you love him as a character. Whereas like with these folks, I mean, I'm kind of glad they don't show up again in the show, because what the hell else can they add? Like, they arrive one note, they leave one note, and they're one note every little bit in between. And that's your lot, essentially. And, like, it makes for a couple of decent scenes, like, where the brothers and Bojack, of course, they get along. And then Bojack starts acting like Diane's annoying big brother for an episode. But the best parts of the episode come right at the end, and they just had me thinking, like, oh, why couldn't we have had this for the rest of the episode? Like, there's that really lovely, tender conversation between Diane and Mr. Peanut Butter over the phone, and then that's immediately followed by Bojack's conversation with Diane on the front of the pickup truck. But I just found myself getting a little bit, like, I was just disappointed. I remember this episode being, like, a continuation of the upward swing away from those early couple of episodes, but it's not. I think it's another downturn before the show finds its feet. And I think you're very much right in the sense that this is far too early to go exploring. This is far too early. We haven't even, we've made a bit of an effort so far to establish Hollywood, as it's still called at this point. But it's just too early to take us out of that world. And even, to be honest, even, like, the B-plot, I think the B-plot was the strongest aspect of the episode, but I'm still not 100%. The only thing that really works for me about the B-plot, the David Boreanaz house, is just remembering that in Season 5, the reason that David Boreanaz's house, or the reason that the house in Filbert looks like David Boreanaz's house, is because they think that David Boreanaz's house is Bojack's house, etc. And that was all I was thinking of while I was watching those scenes, because Todd has a couple of funny things to say about the fact that David Boreanaz has been on relatively anonymous shows, and that it's like, I want to say New Girl. Yeah. Oh, he's been on dramas in networks, and, like, you know, there were a couple of bits like that, and at the beginning where he's like, don't break anything, don't touch anything, and he's reading those notes from Bojack in his head, and then he drops something, he sneezes, and then he goes, well, seal's broken, might as well enjoy myself. And I like the little montage with Todd in the bath that finishes with him in the bath,
where he's drinking champagne.
Yeah. And, you know, there are nice little kind of moments like that in the B plot, but again, it's just this, it just feels a bit. The closest it gets to is that it's a decent enough satire, I think, of kind of like celebrity culture and obsession with finding celebrities' houses and what have you. But it's all right. Like, I didn't dislike watching this episode or anything like that. I wouldn't even say this was a bad episode. I would say that I kind of liked it, but not that much, really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence about it, leaning towards liking it a little bit. I think that's where I lean. I think that what is there is okay, but it's just disappointing because there is potential for so much more. And yeah, both plot lines start off okay. I really, as a fan of This American Life, I really like Diane's ringtone, the Ira Glass. Thank you for being an outstanding member of public radio. Every phone has a story, and your phone story is that it's ringing and stuff like that. You know, big fan of This American Life, so I appreciate that one. But yeah, I think what both plot lines become is pretty meh, to be honest. I don't have much more to say about this episode.
No, it's a shame, because I mean, I mean, I think the fact that this, with Diane's and her family, you've got the hint that the Vietnamese, well, it's mentioned. I mean, obviously you know that the Vietnamese because of the surname, but
yeah.
And then there's all the talk about how there's only one use of the F word, like, throughout the series, but one of her brothers, he says, we're American as fuck, I think. And it's like, is that just because they're from Boston?
Oh, no, he says fuh. He says, I watch everything I watch, by the way, I watch with subtitles.
Oh, but, right, so it's not actually.
He says fuh, it's F-U-H, and I was thinking, is he referring to the F word? Is he going to say fuck, and that's just, like, a way that he says it to say it without saying it, without getting in trouble? Or whether fur is a thing that is very American or whatever.
I don't know if it's Bostonian, yeah. I mean, I don't know, yeah. I just thought, well, you know, again, I think this episode's so, well, I think average that we're clutching at straws to discuss things. I think you could have BoJack being an egomaniac, which happens when he's in the airport. That's wasted. I mean, it's not wasted because it happens continuously throughout every single episode, pretty much. It's just, there's a couple of things that are pointed at that are referenced in later episodes. Obviously, Todd ends up in jail, which leads into the next episode. You got Mr. Peanut Butter answering the phone call, which again, that leads to his jealousy in the following episode. It's just, there's a hint of what's to come with Diane, because I think she's gone from being straight-laced to a damaged person very, very sharply here, which is good, because obviously, like, we know, like, where she goes, and that it's creating more of a well-rounded and a less one-note kind of character, because Alison Brie can do no wrong. So any chance that she gets to, you know, even perform, like, vocal chops is fine by me, because I was getting a touch bored with her just being Mr. Peanut Butter's girlfriend and a writer that doesn't tend to write that much because, well, that's because of BoJack. It's just, she ends up instantly becoming a more well-rounded character, and when she goes crazy, has the freak out.
Suck a dick, dub shits.
It's just, I feel bad for her. But I don't know if that's just me.
No, that's not just you. I think that's the way the episode is written. But I don't know. I think it's just another scenario that a later season would handle with so much care, and would be so much. The episode would be considerably less focused on making it a sitcom scenario. They would actually look at it quite seriously and go, "This is why Diane is the way she is," and it wouldn't make a joke about that. It would have jokes here and there, but it wouldn't, like, it, the gag wouldn't be that Diane is the black sheep of the family, but for the literal black sheep in the family, it wouldn't be a joke. It would be something quite serious. It would be an explanation for why she is the way she is, rather than, like, a joke. And it's the tone this first half of the season. I think that's the problem, where they come up with scenarios that they would come up with in later episodes and treat seriously, whereas here there's just an element of, like, it's kind of flippant, and stuff that later seasons would take a serious look at, here it's kind of hard to go back and adjust to the fact that it's delivering it as a comedy. To be honest, I'm being a little bit harsh here, because I thought that it really struck a chord towards the end. That letter from Leo, I think that's one of the few genuinely nice things that BoJack ever does, where he makes that letter from the homeless guy that took her to prom.
Yeah.
I thought that was really beautiful. And I think, as I said before, I think Diana and Mr. Peanut Butter's phone conversation is really lovely as well. And when Mr. Peanut Butter turned up, I was like, oh, God, yeah, he hasn't been in this episode at all. Where the hell is he? Where's he been? And obviously, he's in the next episode a hell of a lot more, which is part of the improvement upon this episode. But I thought a couple of the gags were okay. Like, the kaleidoscope bit was quite funny. Like, the beginning and the end of it, where BoJack goes, oh, a kaleidoscope, oh, it's a kid's toy. Shapes and colours the like of which I've never seen. And then it ends with, okay, I'm all out of colour combinations, I'm bored. And then that's when he introduces himself to Diane's family. from that point. And I like his line, it's not a joke, but I like his line towards the end as well about how closure was something invented by Steven Spielberg. Because that feeds into a lot of... It was a YouTube video I watched about how narrative is handled in BoJack Horseman or something like that. And it was like a video essay. And they were saying that throughout the seasons of BoJack Horseman, BoJack is always looking for something else to fulfill him. Because he thinks that at the end of season one, his book being finished will make him feel fulfilled. Yeah. And then in season two, he thinks it's Secretariat, and then going to visit Charlotte. And then he thinks in season three, it's something else, and then it's something else. And it's like he's never fulfilled. Like, he thinks that winning an Oscar will make him feel fulfilled, but it doesn't. And it's something that's followed BoJack around ever since the beginning. And it's nice to have that kind of line where he's constantly searching for the end credits. Like, the credits are going to roll on the day. It's been a good day. Let's not spoil it by going any further. And he's maybe coming around to that a little bit, that there's no closure. It's just something invented by movies to make you think that things turn out okay in the end.
Yeah, closure and true love and the Munich Olympics. Three things that are all made up. he almost redeems himself for me, I think, BoJack. We were talking about how he never redeems himself. I mean, he's clearly in love with Diane. Because it's, well, he's in love with anybody who gets close to him. And she's close to him because he's helped her out. And he, I think, if you want to be critical of him, he maybe sees Diane as his ticket back to the top. But for me, the old romantic, he likes her. And the fact that he's so afraid to tell her properly because he has to lie and put it behind him being somebody else in Leo when he writes the letter. I don't know. I think he's in a hard place, but he ruins it again, doesn't he, later on? But
yeah, I think he redeems himself in the context of the episode, but I don't think he redeems himself overall. No. I still think some of his actions in these opening episodes are just like, wow, yeah, okay.
Well, you like the Todd episode last week. Irredeemable, exactly. 2 weeks ago.
I want to complain about Princess Carolyn in this episode. Wow, she just does fuck all. She's just like more standard, oh, I'm a Hollywood agent. Oh, I'm looking to screw people over. Oh, I'm looking to do this. Hey, if you need an agent, I'm there. And
lazy.
That's all she does. That is all she does in this whole episode. Yeah. And I am waiting for Princess Carolyn to become the character that I know she is. My second favourite character in the show behind Mr. Peanut Butter. And it does not happen in this episode. I think it starts to happen in the next one, and we'll talk about that when we get there, but...
Yeah, well, there's not enough of either of them. There's not enough Princess Carolyn, and there's not enough Mr. Peanut Butter. And I think that leads to, like, you know, people having to focus on BoJack and a previously straight-laced Diane. And it's just... the only thing I know happening is strengthening Diane's character, I think. And it's just... it leads...
yeah.
It's almost like dangling things in front of you. Dangling things like Diane and BoJack improving their relationship and talking more, which is what I've wanted to see, at least, and I think you have as well, since they were up on the roof. And also him calling Herb and leaving a voicemail. It's just like pushing... it's creating more of a overarching storyline, but...
yeah, and I think that their scene on the pickup truck is kind of an extension of that rooftop scene. It's like what we would have got had they not cut away that episode.
Yeah.
And it's a hint at what the show would start to prioritise and therefore get much better because of. But again, this episode has lots of chances to do that and does not do it because it thinks that it prioritises that the Boston accent is annoying and it prioritises that Diane's brothers are annoying or... you know, whatever. And it's just stuff that I thought I was more interested in than I ended up being when I watched this So I'm ready to rank if you are.
Yeah, he really disappointed me. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, so I've just gone straight up decent to strong five.
Yeah, I'm not much far above you. I'm just a straight 6.0.
Yeah, it's just...
It's okay, but I think it's... And it does enough on... Just about enough on the jokes front and just about enough on a character front to justify what it does. I think what it does is just about justified by what it does. The concept of taking Diane and Bojack out, not a huge fan of it, but I think what they do there, the show just about gets away with it. So I'd say, yeah, 6.
Yeah, a briefer chat than usual. I think they're about an episode, but that's
yeah. It
comes with the territory. I mean,
probably says a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so our story is a D story, a continuation of the upturn in episodes.
Yes, I would say so. It's immediately... I mean, I only just watched this today, so my memory of it is much fresher, but the jokes are so much better when Mr. Peanut Butter is around.
Yeah.
The tennis balls in the back of his car, the honey sign tempting the bear, the D pendant because he's dependent, and all of that. And the offensive display of extravagant wealth in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Mr. Peanut Butter really is... He's the sticky peanut butter that holds the show together, if you will. But, the A plot is much more character focused, involves the central four characters. That's not Todd. The central four characters to me have always been Bojack, Princess Carolyn, Diane, and Mr. Peanut Butter. Todd's kind of always been off doing his own thing.
Yep.
Doesn't like to put labels on things. I think the A plot in this episode is great. I get a little bit frustrated with, because I know how, I think it's just a hindsight thing, where I know where Mr. Peanut Butter and Bojack's relationship and in relation to Diane ends up, even in like as early as season 2 or 3, yep, where Bojack's more of a friend to Diane. So watching them kind of play, watching them fight over each other, watching them fight over Diane was a little bit like, they do better with this later on, but I thought it was solid enough in the episode, and I think it would be easier for me to just quickly list the things I wasn't keen on, and then because there are things I wasn't keen on that do knock this episode down for me a little bit.
Yeah,
but they're not many and I don't have much to say about them, so I think if we do the negatives first and then I would like to jump in to the positive stuff, if that's okay.
Yeah Let's do it.
So, negatives. I don't like the what? Get out of here jokes at all, really. They're just not very well delivered. I don't like the way Will Arnett's voice cracks when he says get out of here, and he does it twice and it really annoys me. Yeah. And then Diane does it for far too long. And then they do kind of turn around the get out of here punchline with Princess Carolyn going, this is my office, why do I have to get out of here? Which was okay, but I was kind of on those jokes. They really didn't work for me, and they took up at least 15 to 20 seconds of this episode. And I have to say, the entire B plot with Todd in jail is really frustrating. The whole playing both gangs and lots of Nazis are anti-Semitic and they hate Jews, and the gangs are both very violent, but Todd's caught in the middle of them and wearing different costumes on different sides of the prison common room, and when you have an A plot that's as solid as this one, which is probably the most solid A plot of the season so far.
Yeah, I agree.
To be honest, yeah. You just kind of, whenever Todd's running from one side of the prison common room to the other, you're just kind of thinking, can we not just get back to the Mr. Peanut Butter, Bojack Diane thing? And I liked the way that Bojack kept hanging up on him, and the news cut at the end of the episode that's sort of like a race war has started in the prison, and you know, there were things like that that I found a bit funny, and the stick with me and you'll be fine, and then he gets stabbed a million times or whatever. But
The stabbing at the start of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty hysterical, but I don't know, the rest of it afterwards, I struggle with it, to be honest. It's not poor, it's just there. And I am glad that the helicopter crashed and Todd got out of prison, because I don't think I could have stood another episode surrounded by those characters, because they're not that convincing, they're not that funny. They don't do anything interesting with it. You have a Nazi character, and that's it. Like, he's a Nazi character, and Todd knows some Nazis, and he also knows some other gang.
Yeah, like Latinos and stuff, but I didn't even know he was Latino until I remember the name of the gang. There's nothing.
Is it Latin Kings?
Yeah, the Latin Kings. Yeah. Again, it's just more one-note characters that. It's just, it ticks a sitcom box, which is what.
Yeah, this is characters in one episode and one much. Episode only.
Yeah, but I mean, that's no great loss for these, because this is the only thing that brings this episode down. You know, you give a stronger B plot, and you've got. Well, it'd be the best
Maybe
episode
Maybe the best
so
episode
far.
Of the season, yeah.
But, I mean, the helicopter crash, that made me feel a bit uncomfortable with what's been happening over here. Recently,
oh God, yeah.
But I just put, oh shit, helicopter crash, too soon. But because I've seen video footage and it's weird, uncomfortable. But taken away from that, which obviously this is a good few years before, the B plot, I mean, I think the thing that makes it enjoyable a touch is. Aaron Paul and his vocal delivery. I'm really coming round on Todd, but again, I mean, I prefer him doing this than Wacky Schemes. I don't know why. I mean, and the Todd episode, which comes up later on, which is Chickens. I just remember hating that. So,
at the beginning of season two, the Chicken for Days. It's Chicken for Days.
I'm looking forward to getting to that, so it can change my mind. But this episode, on a whole, I mean, the A story is the best that we've seen. I really love the one-upmanship and the rivalry.
Within the context of this episode, I do like the one-upmanship, as you say. With the hindsight of their relationship with each other and with Diane and stuff, it feels a little strange, but in the context of this episode and up to where we are now, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, because you get to see a lot of Mr. Peanut Butter. And I'm a huge fan of Mr. Peanut Butter.
He's the greatest character in the show.
He is the best character. I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah. But he does crack, and he gets a bit more depth added to him. He's no longer just the chipper, maybe a bit smug character that he may appear to be at first. He's a good boyfriend, obviously. He does the book for at the end. But again, I feel bad for Bojack. Because when I'm with you, I don't hate myself, and... How he leaves the voicemail.
Yeah.
Ah, people professing the feelings. It's shocking. I hate it. No, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm going through something similar at the moment. So, what an awful time to watch this episode. It probably makes me appreciate it a bit better. But when he gives the speech, that he gives about. Him, I was pretty much professing his love for her. You know, it's just, I feel so bad for him, but there's no way that he deserves anybody like Diane.
No.
Whereas you've got Mr. Peanut Butter, who it could be irritating to some, and I think he's meant to be, but. And I think he's a bit of a dick at the end where he.
He invites everybody in to watch the proposal, essentially.
Well. Initially, where he says on air that he stole the D, which is the ultimate one-upmanship of Bojack's and his contest. He eventually, he obviously wins because he wins Diane, which I feel a bit tasteless even objectifying her like that. But he does that, and then he says, no cameras this time, no cameras. And then he had cameras all along. Ah, oh, knob.
Yeah.
Dick.
Erica, she said yes.
Yeah.
I liked the moment, actually, not necessarily that Mr. Peanut Butter stole the D, but more Diane's reaction to it, because my God, is that not consistent with the end of season 4, where she hates grand gestures,
yeah,
and she doesn't like being on camera, she doesn't like big things being done for her, she's someone who just likes simple little things, she just kind of wants steadiness, she doesn't want the life that Mr. Peanut Butter essentially gives her, which is a life constantly in front of cameras, constantly in the public eye, constantly with grand gestures and excitement and enthusiasm, and that's not in Diane's person, and this little moment reveals so much about her, especially in the context of the previous episode, really, because we've seen that it's just big moments have never been, you know, her big high school prom moment, that was supposed to be a big moment and it didn't go well. You could see why she doesn't like grand gestures. She'd rather just avoid them. She'd rather just be steady.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, I want to talk, because we complained a little bit about how Princess Carolyn was handled in the previous episode. There are just little bits of her in this episode that her actual character, her actual person, start to sneak through. Because there's suddenly pressure on Princess Carolyn because she has to deal with BoJack constantly going on, like, and she becomes less of an agent and more of a, like, a reluctant confidant.
Yeah.
Which is something that she's always been to BoJack. And BoJack is constantly dumping his shit on her, and she's taking it, and she's rolling with it every single time. And she's less of an agent in this episode, and, like I say, more of a reluctant confidant, more of a friend.
Yeah.
More of someone who's being gradually, by the writers, being welcomed into this inner circle of characters, not just someone we go to every now and again when we want to parody what a Hollywood agent is like. We are now going to someone who works hard, is committed, will do anything for their friends. Like, that's the person that I know Princess Carolyn to be, and I think this episode is a much better representation of her character and is much better for her development than the previous one. I noticed little things like that, and it's really nice to notice little things like that on this kind of revisit when we're watching it this closely.
Yeah, I mean, knowing what we know now about people like that, it's just, I feel bad for her because, obviously, BoJack and Princess Carolyn have an on-again, off-again, you know, like, relationship, and he's there talking about how he's in love with his biographer, pretty much.
Yeah.
Again, creating her as a sympathetic character. And he puts her down, and this is just BoJack being a dick. Since when do women your age get invited to weddings?
Oh, I know.
Cutting. He's just, he's horrible. But how he rants about things like Diane and stuff, it's just, I find him relatable, which I think says a lot about me, the terrible, terrible old man that I am becoming. Long wheezing voicemails. I am losing my voice now, so it's like, too far alike. But I don't know. But Princess Carolyn, again, she's becoming more well-rounded. Everybody is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, you know, it's, obviously, you could say, if you just want to, like, pin it down on, like, a bullet point, that this episode entirely changes the game. It widens the scope of the show, the universe, in a single episode. I mean, it changes the name of the town forever, and everybody instantly jumps on board.
Oh, my God, I love that they stick with that. Yeah. But it changes immediately.
Everybody's automatically
they
aware.
Ride with it. And, yeah, the Hollywood is, I think, calling it Hollywood is one of its strongest. Well, first of all, it's the name, it informs the name of our podcast, but I think it's one of the strongest ways to kind of constantly poke fun at Hollywood.
Yeah.
Just take the D out of it. It sounds silly. Yeah, let's stick with that. And the fact that everybody just goes along with it. It's everybody in that town is, you know, it makes this point that it's like everybody in this town, in this culture, is brainless.
Yeah, because they'll just move with whatever's put on telly. I like how in the prison they automatically know as well, how, like, one of the background guys, and they've crossed it out.
Yeah.
It's just, it's improving, it's getting here, you know, it's finally, I think, like, with the changing of the name of the city, and, well, M of the Universe, really.
Yeah.
It's a signal of change. It's a signal that this is its own, like, universe now. I mean, you get random people like Andrew Garfield popping in and people like that popping in, but this is... It's not Hollywood, but it's a place where they can, like, pick and make fun of Hollywood as it is, but...
Yes, absolutely.
Almost get away with it, maybe.
Speaking of people who, like, pop in every now and again... the Beyonce puns are great. I love those. The Dangerously in Love, She's a Survivor, Bills, 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 All the Single Dollars, All the Single Dollars. Played by, as I found out afterwards, Beyonce in this episode is played by Yvette Nicole Brown. You know, Shirley.
Community.
Yeah. Which I didn't know, but it's nice to have her pop up in things, because she's always fun. Other great jokes, I thought the cyanide vodka absinthe, like the, I need something, what is it? I forget what he asks for, but like cyanide is first and he's like, whoa, not that far. Vodka, what is this? Breakfast? Yeah. And then absinthe is plonked on the table in front of him. Oh, that's the stuff. I was very much into that joke. And again, just having Mr. Peanut Butter around is just way more fun. I liked the little gag that they had about, when Mr. Peanut Butter goes to drive somewhere and Bojack says, wait, hang on a minute, you've been drinking, you should have a coffee, and he just pours more liquor into his mug. This episode is way more solid from front to back. Not a huge, like I say, little bit meh on the B plot. It's just, you know, it other than the very very end of the episode, I think you could make an argument, unfortunately, that the B plot just didn't need to happen.
No.
It didn't have an effect on anything.
No.
And, well...
I mean, I don't know what you'd do with Todd, though, because...
Well, they left Mr. Peanut Butter out for an entire episode. Well, yeah, so they could leave Todd out of... I don't know. I think maybe it's because Todd is more of a main character at the moment. He's just kind of in the process of being shelved and shoved off to the left-hand side, yeah, while the main four get on with the more dramatic stuff. But, yeah, no, I think the jokes are better in this episode. Yeah, well, in A plot, anyway. The jokes are much better. The dramatic writing and storytelling and serialization elements are all much stronger. And all, like, they resonate so much more. I think that as elaborate as it is for the D for the Hollywood sign to be stolen, I think they managed to work a really good satire angle into it. I like this episode. The B plot is a little bit dull and I get a bit impatient with it, but it's not it's not bad by any stretch. It's just it's there and Todd is out of jail by the end of the episode. And yeah, it's good. I liked this one. I am glad that... I'm sure that we're now at the stage where there aren't any episodes worse than this in Season 1. I'm sure that every episode in Season 1 is either as good or better from this point. I hope.
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly better than the last one, I think.
Hmm.
I mean, I wasn't big on the last one and I wasn't big on Neil McBeal. But... And I think that they are the two... like worst episodes. Yeah, well, I don't know. Hopefully I'm not like surprised next week.
Hopefully you're right. Hopefully and we're not. Yeah.
But I think it's just a really cutting episode. I mean, how sharp people can be to like bring people down. Even like Diane is guilty of this. Like when they're all in the car together and how Diane like brings up how desperate Mr. Peanut Butter is to be Bojack's friend. Which just puts him out even more.
But I thought that was actually quite sad, because it reveals, as you said, this episode actually had layers to Mr. Peanut Butter. There's jealousy and insecurity there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that moment where you find out that he's begging for Bojack's company, wants to leave him voicemails, wants to ring him, wants to call him, wants to spend time with him. It's kind of sad to hear that and then know that Bojack's feelings for Diane are kind of developing in the background, and he's not doing anything to control them because he thinks that he can outdo Mr. Peanut Butter. And
well, yeah, but I mean, Diane does that, and then doesn't she also Bojack's kind of creeping around and pouring his feelings out, and she's there taping, she's there recording it. And I mean, yeah, it's like we think that she's so almost innocent at this point, but she's just as well. She wants a book on shelves, like she wants to sell it. She's just like everybody else in Hollywood, you know. She wants to make her way to the top because she's obviously.
Well, but she definitely can be.
Well, yeah.
Has the potential to be.
I mean, it's more obvious in like season. End of season one and up to the most recent season, season five, where she like pushes and pushes and pushes. But here, yeah, she's recording it. She's, you know, she's dropping her own boyfriend to argue with a person who she's writing a book about to get rises out of him birth. I mean, she's not as innocent as she appears to be.
No.
A lot like every other character she plays. She's good at this.
Yeah.
She's good at this. But
what do you think? Just as a side tangent, actually, my favourite role of Alison Breeze is Annie from Community, because Community was a very formative show for me in terms of the comedy I like. In terms of the TV shows that I got into afterwards, like when I was in college, I really got into Community, and it was great for me to go through that. But what do you think her best role is out of like her major roles that she's been in? Bearing in mind, I haven't seen Mad Men.
In terms of range, I think it's Glow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good shout.
But I think Annie in Community is iconic, like for similar reasons for me as it is for you. It came along at the right time because I'd heard everybody talking about it, and I'm like, ah, it can't be that good. And it is.
Yeah, first theory is kind of like BoJack in the sense that the first three or four episodes are a bit up and down, but then once it hits its stride, it's unstoppable. Community,
yeah.
Like. Up until the end of season three, and then we all know what happens after that. But
oh, the gas leak year, yeah.
Yes, the gas leak year. Yeah.
But I mean, I could do a show on that. I could talk about that because that's arguably as deep, but more because that goes even more off the wall than just being, you know, obviously a generic sitcom.
Yeah.
And goes into like, you know, a lot of parody.
Maybe when this is over we do that, because I need an excuse to rewatch season 5 and go through season 6, because I haven't seen season 6.
I've seen bits of season 6, but
is it still Dan Harmon in season 6?
Yeah, I think right. So. Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go, just, you know, just for like a completionist completionist view. But
okay, yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But before we get to the end of this series, we have to. Do you have anything more to say about our A story is a D story?
I just like the whole world building that it does, and the improvement on characters, the improvement on fleshing out Peanut Butter. It's creeping up on like progressing Princess Carolyn. I still continue to. I feel really bad for BoJack, which makes me look like a hypocrite because he's such an irredeemable.
Because we hated him bastard. So much in the last episode.
But maybe it's just me. I mean, if I came back to this and I redid it in a week's time or a month's time,
you might feel different.
I might feel different, but I don't know. It's just if I was in BoJack's position, I'd hate Mr. Peanut Butter right now. You know, because he's the best character in the show, Mr. Peanut Butter, but again, he's just, they're all Hollywood through and through. They're all horrible, horrible people. Other than Todd, who's just, you know, naive.
Yeah. Yeah, I would basically agree. I think it fleshes the world out a little bit more. It fleshes the main sort of like four characters out a little bit more. The jokes are a little bit better. The B-plot's substandard, but I don't think that's a huge crime, really. So I'm happy to give this a 7.5.
I'm going to go light 8 on this.
Light 8?
I really,
nice.
I'm adding it to the old love list. I was really surprised because, I mean, I was attempting it to be good, but it's just there's something about the old like one-upmanship and the old like dynamic that those two have. It's just, it's by the numbers maybe, but by the numbers like work sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So next week, for the next episodes, we have episode 7, which is Say Anything, and that is Bojack sabotages himself with an epic bender. Meanwhile, Princess Carolyn experiences a day of personal and professional failure after the Vigo agency merges with the agency FME, which is led by her former rival, Vanessa Gecko. At the same time, she realizes she has sacrificed many of her dreams while pursuing Bojack, who is unattainable, a realization she comes to on her 40th birthday. And then after that, we have the telescope. When he learns that Herb Kazaz is dying from terminal rectal cancer, Bojack tries to mend fences while Diane accompanies him. Meanwhile, Todd meets two masked girls who try to carjack him. Bojack tries to apologize to her for betraying him 20 years ago, but Herb refuses to forgive him and angrily throws him out. Later, a distraught Bojack unexpectedly kisses Diane, putting a strain on their friendship. So we have all of that to look forward to, and more, because there were things that surely happened in those episodes that weren't mentioned in those short blurbs there. So
I think we've got two classics next week.
I seem to remember very much enjoying the telescope. Say Anything is not one that springs to mind as one that I love, but I await to be surprised.
It's a Carolyn, it's Princess Carolyn episode. I think it's going to improve on what's slowly but surely becoming a fully formed character. I don't remember it much, but just from that blurb there, there's things there that I think we'll find to talk quite in depth about. I don't think, even though we've said this before, there'll be no more pannings from here. There'll be no more, you know, 5 out of 10s. I can't see, because it's up and up. The telescope, I mean, I think that already goes down as one of the all-time classics, you know, even for season one. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to try and come at it from a really cynical point of view, just so we're not raving about it. But I don't know. I'm gonna be able to help myself. The telescope's quality. I mean, well, that's not too. I love. I don't know, like, what is love. This last episode was good, and it is on my approved list. It's on my watch this list. I'll think of a better title next week. But it's gonna be jam packed in it from now.
Yeah.
Because this, not last time, this time, next week, is where the upturn really really kicks into gear, I think.
Yes, I would agree. Let's hope it's great when we get there.
Don't say that. Don't say that. It's going to be a disappointment. So, any last words?
No, I don't think so. I think the first Live Fast, Die Anyway was okay, but a bit disappointing, and our A story is a D story, is an improvement, a big improvement in terms of the A plot, with the letter D going missing and everything, but still on the B plot front, with Todd him running around a prison. I think that's my nice summation of my thoughts.
Nice one. I can't really summate, but hopefully next week I will have refound my voice. It's going. So,
I think you sounded okay.
I mean, hopefully somebody likes it. I would love feedback.
Yeah.
I'll take up smoking or something. I don't know. erotic sounding voice. Anyway, before it gets a bit too left field, we'll call it a night.
Yeah, we will.
So I've been a Sam Cook type.
I've been a Rob Wilson type, and also two other types of people join this podcast, but you just haven't noticed.
See you later on, people?
Yeah, people.
See you later on, people.